This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بكت عيني بكت عيني بكت عيني على ذنبي وما لاقيت من كربي فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب.
I wanted to just have a very frank and a very honest conversation about what I would call here in Texas would work, the post-Ramadan blues. The post-Ramadan blues. Maybe some of you don't understand this. Subhanallah, here we are. Some of us every single day, mashallah, we're coming to the masjid. Some of us are spending 2, 3, 4 hours a day. In these last 10 nights, maybe half the night or the full night. We have 100 people in i'tikaf, right? And there's no question, and we feel it already, even though there's 4 days left of Ramadan, that our iman right now is probably the highest it's been in the last year. Is that not correct? We already feel it now. And we're already understanding that a week from now we won't be in this state. Subhanallah, the day of Eid will come, and for the first time after 30 days, the minute of Maghrib would come and go, you're not even going to recognize it. Remember I said this, and on the day of Eid you will see it yourself. When Maghrib Adhan is called, you will not even realize it until maybe 5, 10, 20 minutes later, inshallah at least that. Then you say, oh, it's time for Maghrib, let's go pray Maghrib. You're not going to be counting down on that particular day. What happens after Ramadan is our iman and our level of worship has a nosedive. It goes down. And we wonder, what can we do to maintain a similar level? And this is where I'm going to give some advice to myself and all of you, inshallah ta'ala, and we can try to work on this. First and foremost, we have to be realistic. We have to just call a spade a spade. It is not possible to maintain this level post-Ramadan. That's what makes this Ramadan. Let's be honest to ourselves. We cannot maintain this pinnacle. I mean, tonight is the 27th. We had better be not at 100%, at our 200%. We had better be doing something we never imagined we could do, right? So yes, it's good that we're at a pinnacle. And we should recognize that this pinnacle is not going to last. But, and here's the frankness that comes in. Even if we're not going to have that level of iman, we need to make sure that we maintain a higher level than pre-Ramadan. As I've said multiple times, that is our realistic goal. What should happen to us post-Ramadan, when we come crashing down, is that the crash is still an overall success compared to pre-Ramadan. It's like the stock market, which is now crashing. May Allah protect and help all of us. It's like the stock market, right? If you invested 100, you went up to 200, you're so happy. When it crashes to 150, yes, you feel disappointed, but you're like, you know what? Alhamdulillah, I gained 50%. That should be our overall game plan or philosophy for Ramadan. Because we have given our 200% tonight, inshallah, the next year, 27th, if we're still here, we're going to give our new 200%, which is going to be more because our capital is more. You understand what I'm saying here, right? We have a higher capital going in, so we're going to reach a new pinnacle next 27th. And then it's going to come a little bit more down, but we're still going to be at that 1.5 or 1, however many percentage, right? So, my purpose of the talk today, what are three practical, because you know my talks, I like to be like down to earth. I like to give some advice that is just something we can do, not just theoretical. Three practical steps that I want myself and all of you to think about and implement, about how we can maintain a higher level post-Ramadan than we had pre-Ramadan. Point number one. And I begin with this point. Masjid attendance. Masjid attendance. Do not trivialize the role that the masjid plays in fortifying and protecting and increasing your iman. I mean, this month has proven it, hasn't it, right? This month has proven it. Our coming to the masjid, our coming here this frequently, our interacting with our brethren, our listening to the recitation of the Quran, seeing everybody, even if you're lazy, right? Everybody else is doing it, you're going to be motivated, okay? You wouldn't pray this length of tarawih at home unless we were doing it here. You wouldn't gain the spirit and the khushu' unless we had, mashallah, our Hafiz Sajjad and our imams and shuyukh reciting the way that they do. So these masajid are the houses of Allah. And that means they're supposed to be fortifications of iman. They're supposed to be places and oases of calm in the hustle and bustle around us. The dunya hardens the heart. Coming into this masjid, coming into this facility, and being in this ambience, it softens the heart. So this month we've got an extra boost, a dosage. This month we were high on halal high, on coming to the masjid. Don't wean yourself off. I don't know how much I want to take this metaphor. Completely. Have some level still of attachment to the masjid. So whatever your level of attachment was pre-Ramadan, I want you to go up 150%. Increase it. Okay? However far or close you are, be able to increase that frequency and quantity. Salatul Isha and Salatul Fajr in particular. See if you can make those. Because I know Dhuhr is almost impossible for almost all of us. Asr might also be difficult. You know, Maghrib, we're at home, we're understandable. But Fajr and Isha, and these are the most blessed prayers to pray anyway. Make it your regular routine to come here, to listen to the tilawah. SubhanAllah, these nights, and it's what, 3 a.m., and our masjid is packed. We already have people sitting in the hallway, and it's a week day, mashallah, week night. Why then? Why? When Ramadan is over, and Isha, and you can go home and sleep easily on time, is our masjid only half full or less than half full? Why? It's the same Rabb. It's the same iman we need. We want every masjid on earth to be packed to capacity, especially for the salawat we're able to do. And especially in this land, dear brothers and sisters, where nothing reminds you of Allah throughout your day. Remember this point as well. Nothing, you know the corporate office. You know the quote-unquote real world we all occupy in the daytime. Especially for us who have no other mechanism of reminding ourselves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, really, we have to make an extra effort and point. We have to put in the time for the drive. We have to realize, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. These are the houses of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah blessed us. By the way, masajid didn't exist for all of human history. Allah blessed our father Ibrahim with the first masjid. Before that point in time, by the way, there was no dedicated house of God. There was no church, there was no synagogue, there was no mosque, right? Inna awwala baytin wudi'a lin-nasi lalladhi bi-Bakkata mubarakah. The first holy land, the first consecrated area that Allah said, this is going to be permanent for worshipping Allah, is Mecca. And we thank Allah, it's ours, alhamdulillah. It's ours. Mecca is our heritage. Even though it was founded by Ibrahim alayhi salam, all legacies claim him, but he is rightfully ours. So Mecca was the first masjid. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed for our ummah in particular. Otherwise, before our ummah, other ummahs, they were not allowed to worship anywhere. Again, I don't want to go down that tangent. We are the only ummah that Allah, that the Prophet ﷺ said, the whole world has been made a masjid for me. We can build a masjid anywhere, we can pray anywhere. Alhamdulillah. Other faiths have very strict conditions, whatnot. We don't have any of that. So now, alhamdulillah, we have masjids in the furthest of lands. You know, people outside of our countries in Muslim lands, they are shocked when they come to masajid like Epic. And in this month, I've had at least half a dozen people come from the Middle East for the first time, from Pakistan, from, you know, Qatar, they've come here. They can't believe what they're seeing. They said, we never thought in America, 1,500 every single night coming, 3,000 gonna come, you know, for the Khatam. They can't believe this over here. And alhamdulillah, the barakah and the peace that comes, they sense it when they come to this land. How about us who need it, mashallah, through our day life? So point number one, And by the way, it's not a trivial point coming to the masjid. It's a huge action in and of itself. Our Prophet ﷺ talked about the seven people who will be sheltered by Allah. One of them, وَرَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِالْمَسْجِدِ. A person whose heart is attached to the masjid. One of those seven, his heart is attached to the masjid. And sitting in the masjid is one of the highest actions of worship. Just simply sitting, waiting for salah, doing dhikr, it is one of the highest actions of worship. This is our version of halal meditation. Other faith traditions, they have their meditations. For us, this is our meditation. Waiting and sitting for salah. That's why i'tikaf is so blessed. Because what are you doing? You are sitting in the masjid. Otherwise, everything you're doing in i'tikaf, you can do outside. You can pray, you can give zakah, you can read Quran, you can do dhikr, you can make dua. What makes i'tikaf the so special and blessed is because you are literally habsun nafsi fil masjid. You're locking yourself, you're by yourself in the masjid. So stick to the masjid, increase your masjid attendance, have a routine to come. And I suggest humbly that it should be a routine. Don't make it random. My dear brothers, my dear sisters, our lives are based upon routines. Our jobs have schedules. They have routines. Our schools have routines and schedules. We wake up at a time, we go to sleep at a time. So put into your routine regular masjid attendance. You know best what is feasible, what is realistic. So number one, point number one, increase your masjid attendance. Sitting in the masjid, waiting for salah is one of the highest deeds of worship. The angels come and send their salah on you. They send their salah when you're waiting for the masjid. Your du'as are accepted simply waiting in the masjid. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ called this is a version of ribat of jihad fi sabilillah. Sitting here, no danger to your life, no enemies, no swords, and you are in ribat, in jihad fi sabilillah, simply because Allah knows you're only here because you want to pray. You have cut off from the dunya, you've cut off from your rizq, you've cut off from your corporate life, and you are just sitting. And when you're sitting, do dhikr, think, contemplate, reassess your life. This is our halal meditation. So point number one, and again, the topic today is practical advice about how we can maintain higher iman, not the same level of iman. Point number one, that's, by the way, one of our reasons why our iman is so high right now. We're coming to the masjid regularly. Point number two, now this is going to be more difficult. One of the reasons why our iman is so high, alhamdulillah, in this month, is because of the barakah of the ukhuwah of Islam. Having good companionship. Yani when you're sitting here and you're surrounded by people who are reading the Quran, you're not going to be taking your phone out and playing chess or something or whatever. What is it, Candy Crush, whatever you guys play, I don't know, right? I hope you're not doing this at least, okay? When everybody's reading Quran, when everybody's listening to a lecture, even if you're not that motivated, you get into the spirit. And this is the barakah of ukhuwah. That's why our Prophet ﷺ encouraged us to see who are we hanging around? Who are our friends? We all know the hadith, الرجل على دين خليله. The person shall follow the methodology and religion of his close associates. Then the Prophet said, examine who your associates are. Frank question to you. When was the last time you actually examined who are my closest associates? When did you go down the list and really think, who do I hang around? Who do I enjoy their companionship? Because those people tell you everything you need to know about yourself. The people whom you enjoy being with, your company, is literally who you are. So examine who your closest friends. Who do you invite? Whose house do you go to? And the fact of the matter, this is brutally honest here. Are they a bad or good influence on you? This is where I'm saying, raise the bar. Raise the bar of the people you associate with. Because one of the reasons why iman is so strong right now is because of the suhbah, the companionship we have. Because people all around us, alhamdulillah, are helping us. So once this collective effort ceases in Ramadan, we need to create our own mini collective efforts. And alhamdulillah, in this month, I have no doubt that every one of you who is coming regularly has formed new bonds of friendship with people in this community. Is that not the case, right? Khalas. Kill two birds with one stone, or maybe should not the right metaphor, but yani resurrect two, what? What's the good metaphor here? Ah, revive, yes. Where is our revive, mashallah? Habibi, Shaykhana Habibi. So, revive, ukhuwa. Interact with the brothers or the sisters, interact with the sisters that you came to know, and form a genuine mahabba fillah, a genuine ukhuwa fillah. This is, again, you're getting multiple ajrs. You're getting better associates. You're going to help one another in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you all know the famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the example of the good companion is like that of the one who sells perfume. Even if you don't buy from him, he'll gift you. Even if he doesn't gift you, being in his presence, you will smell the good perfume. So find your perfume sellers and start associating with them. And inshallah, that will be one of the ways. So every Ramadan, look at your closest list of friends and frankly, start distancing those that are a negative impact on you. Those whose gatherings are nothing but ghiba, nothing but waste of time, nothing but maybe even haram going on. And I especially speak frankly to the youth, the teenagers. Wallahi, we live in times when, Allah musta'an, I can't even imagine what I would do if I were your age with all that you have. Alhamdulillah, the afana mabtalakum. Allah saved me from that generation. I don't know what I would have done. Allah is testing you. But you know, that means Allah has chosen you for what He hasn't chosen me for. Because Allah is only going to test you knowing you can pass the test. So the fact that you're being tested with so much of the internet and social media and whatnot, and the ease of access of every type of evil. You see, again, you youth don't understand. I will go down this tangent. We couldn't do the types of things you can do easily, even if we wanted to do them, right? We couldn't even do them if we wanted to. We didn't have that type of access. Allah has given you a huge test and trial because Allah knows you can pass that. But one of the biggest causes of failure is not even going to be you. It's going to be whom you associate with. And wallahi, every one of you knows this. No matter how young or old you are, you know this. Your friends are going to dictate much of your failure or success. So maybe you cannot control what your friends do, but you can control who your friends are. You can control who you associate with. You can control who your closest peer and associations are. So look at your closest group and choose wisely and find people that love Islam. Want, and again, I mean, alhamdulillah, one of my own causes for me being who I am today, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed me with an amazing group when I was at the University of Houston, my MSA, right? Getting involved with that MSA batch, getting involved with that, doing da'wah, being, Allah knows where I would have gone or what I would have done, but those 4 years of activism, it made me change the entire course of my life, and here I am now. And I thank every one of those brothers, subhanAllah, they are going their different ways, but we're still in touch. So my point being, point number two, choose your friends wisely. You can't choose what your friends do, you can't choose your friends. So based on what your friends do, choose your friends. Based on what their inclinations and likes and dislikes are, choose those that genuinely want to be religious. Even if you're all struggling, but Allah Azza wa Jalla knows you're going to help one another. So that's point number two that will help you in this path. Point number three, very simple, very easy. One of the reasons why our iman is so high right now is the daily dosage of Quran and dhikr. We are immersed in listening to the Quran every single day. We are doing our adhkar, making dua before we break our fast. And we're doing more than usual. Because we're doing more than usual, obviously, our iman feels at an all-time high. Now, once again, after Ramadan, maybe we're not going to read a whole juz or five juz a day or whatever, how much we're doing. But my sincere request to myself and all of you, the Quran needs to be in your daily routine. This is my humble request to myself and all of you. Don't let a single day go by without opening up the book of Allah and reading, wallahi, even if it's five lines. If you're doing nothing, start with five lines, no big deal. Something is better than nothing. And I have a simple request. You know, after Ramadan, our iman is still, mashallah, good. We can last a little while, right? Have a simple request. Put the recitation of the Quran into your routine the first week after Ramadan at a time that can be consistent. So suppose you go to work, you know, you leave your house, let's say at 6:30 a.m., right? Say, you know, from 6:15 to 6:30, I'll wake up a little bit earlier. Those 10 minutes before I leave, I'm just going to open the book of Allah, and whatever how much I can read, I will read. I have a simple ask of you. Do that for 1 week and see how it impacts your psyche and soul. See how you feel for the rest of the day after you've done that. The reason I'm so confident is very simple. The Quran is the breakfast for the soul. Right now, you don't understand you're missing breakfast because you haven't had that in your routine. Right now, you're going to work without any breakfast for the soul. Once you start feeding the soul every single day, the day you're not able to do that, you're going to feel spiritually empty. You're going to feel, I didn't feed my soul the way it's supposed to be fed. So my humble ask of all of you is, again, very simple, very practical. Every single day, whatever time, and preferably in the morning, because that's when the barakah is, our Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has blessed my ummah in the early mornings of the dawn. This is a hadith, right? بُورِكَ لِأُمَّتِي فِي بُكُورِهَا. In the early morning is barakah. That's when there is the most barakah. But if you're not able to and you have to do it evening, afternoon, that's also not a problem. But the best time is the morning time, right? And Allah says in the Quran, وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ What is it? كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. Reciting the Quran at Fajr time means at late night and early morning. Fajr means يعني before and after Fajr, that early time. وقرآن الفجر إن قرآن الفجر كان مشهودا. The Quran recited at Fajr time, dawn, pre-dawn, post-dawn, could be tahajjud, could be actual Fajr, could be right after Fajr. That is the recitation that the angels themselves are paying attention to. They witness that recitation. So, Alhamdulillah, this last 10 days, we're spending most of the night awake. We're doing so much ibadah and whatnot. My simple request of all of you, once Ramadan finishes, yeah, we're not going to spend the whole night awake. Ya akhwi, don't. Yani, let's be real. Even the Prophet ﷺ, the only time of the whole year he spent the whole night awake was the last 10. Hadith of Aisha. The only time he spent the whole night awake. So yes, after Ramadan finishes, we're not going to be spending from Isha to Fajr worshipping Allah. We understand that. But surely, once we've shown Allah that for a whole month we can fast a whole day, for a whole month we can come for Qiyam 2 hours, for a whole last 10 days we can spend 5 hours. Once we've shown Allah that, surely we can give 15 minutes extra. Surely we can increase a little bit. And here's the point. Small, consistent acts is how we make it to the finish line with flying colors. Not quick spurts. That doesn't work that way. Small, consistent acts. That's the goal here. We be practical. We come down to reality. We're not going to have this level of iman after Ramadan. But we focus. We improve in key areas. And every Ramadan, we improve in those key areas or maybe other key areas, such that Ramadan acts as our cleansing mechanism, such that Ramadan is our spiritual gym. Every year, we go to that 1 month routine, we come out bigger and better. Gonna go a little bit down. Next Ramadan comes, we are better than we were the first Ramadan. And then we're gonna be even higher. Then we're gonna keep on having that cycle until the goal being our best Ramadan ever should be our final Ramadan. Because al-amalu bil-khawatim, Allah will judge us based upon the finality of our lives. Only thing is, we don't know when that finality is. So we have to make sure. That's why the du'as the imam makes. I made it today, and the imams make it, and it's in the prophetic du'a as well. Make our best deeds the last deeds. And make the best time of our life the last time of our life. There's only one way to do that. And that is, we strive to get better and better every single month and every single year. And that's the goal of Ramadan. Ramadan is the primary boost that should make every year better than the previous one. Final point in my time, inshallah, will then be up. Also, thank Allah for what He has blessed us with giving us Ramadan and Laylatul Qadr. No other ummah has been given Laylatul Qadr. No other ummah. Hadith isn't the Muwatta of Imam Malik, that the Prophet ﷺ complained to Jibreel and said, how does my ummah have a chance against the other ummas when the other ummas live for so many centuries? Like, it's not fair. my ummah doesn't have a chance compared to the other ummas. So Jibreel said, Allah has sent me to you to tell you, Allah has gifted you a perk that can make up for those other chances. You have what no other ummah has. You have one night every single year that shall give you more than a lifetime, more than 80 plus years of pure worship. Remember, it's not 80 years of living, it's 80 years of worship. One night shall give you all of this. That's basically multiple lifetimes every year you get. So this is how we are balancing the equation. Allah has blessed us with this night. Let us make the most of this night. Let us increase our ibadah, our tahajjud, our Quran. Let us make sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to be praying on Laylatul Qadr, the night that Jibreel himself comes down. Let us be of those of the faizin of this month, inshaAllah ta'ala. And jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا